One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Where am I looking? There? I can't see the monitor. Here?
You're looking at the one.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week here in the studio is Nick Limone.
I'm back, baby.
And we're also joined by Sam Claiborne.
Who's behind Nick there?
I will introduce our very special guest. Our very special guest in just a moment. Justin Davis is also here.
There's no words on it.
Effing thing sucks. We got a very special episode for you this week. While last week was the wonderful episode, this week is the Godzilla episode. It is Godzilla week here at IGN. So we have a Godzilla-themed episode this week. We're joined by Shin Godzilla here in the studio, which I believe is Nick's favorite.
My personal favorite Godzilla. Shin Godzilla. Yeah. Directed by my homeboy Hideaki Anno of Evangelion fame.
Oh, yeah.
And just the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So we got that one. We got a little 54 Godzilla down there in another very good Godzilla. So our contribution to Godzilla Week is we're going to run down every Godzilla game ever, and there's quite a few of them. A lot of them did not escape Japan, much like Godzilla did for a long time. But there's some very amusing titles in here, and games that some of these games you certainly have never heard of before. So that'll be really fun. But first, real quick, I wanted to say I finally started Alan Wake 2.
Ooh.
And I'm still early. I'm only a couple hours into it, but I had three observations I want to make. First of all, what a gorgeous game. One of the best looking games of the year. Absolutely. There's been a lot of talk about the Pacific Northwest setting and all the foliage and even like the sun shining through leaves and branches and everything. That's all great. Still not getting fully realistic interaction with the foliage. Like as you walk down a path in the woods, you're still basically just walking
through the leaves.
Yeah. You know, it's not like bursting out of your way, but looks very, very nice. Top 10 title card. It's a great title card. There's like a little bit of a cold open, and then you get a big title screen, and it's great. I loved that. And then also, Sam, you're totally right. Even like an hour into it, I'm like, this lady is totally slipping out of her accent like all the time.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like every third sentence.
Did you get to walk around the town at all yet? You go from the forest, which looks really great, and then the town is like, what? This looks even better.
It looks incredible.
Yeah. Like the lighting is really, really
great. It's funny. Video game stuff of like, you know, if someone doesn't work in the video game industry, they don't understand how it's like you can make the world's most photorealistic tree, but it's like have a character put like a bow and arrow on their back, literally impossible to do without clipping through their clothes and shoulder and arm. Can't do it.
Yeah.
You haven't had a chance to play as Alan Wake yet?
I've not played as Alan Wake. No.
The moment you do, I think you're also going to be flabbergasted by the visual fidelity of what is presented on screen. Because the second I played as Alan, I was like, whoa, this is incredible. This is graphics, everybody.
I look forward to that. I played through the first like combat encounter as Saga. And you do a lot of her mind play stuff. I don't know why they'd call it her mind place instead of just Mind Palace. Because the game says it's our version of Mind Palace.
I love it.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, what's his name? Stephen Moffat has the Mind Palace. Benedict Cumberbatch has that. Mm-hmm. This is the Mind Place, buddy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well. Anyway, I'm quite enjoying that. Impressed already. Sam, are you still playing that one? Alan Wake 2?
Yeah, I'm splitting my time between a Mario game, a Spider-Man game, and an Alan Wake game right now. It's kind of crazy.
I can't believe you haven't beaten Spider-Man 2 yet.
Yeah, I'm definitely rampaging as a character I didn't expect to rampage as, but, you know, yeah. I feel like I'm pretty far along, although then I look at my tally and it's like 60-some percent.
Yeah.
I'm trying to play all these other games.
You can ignore all that junk.
Yeah.
You don't need to go do all that.
I'm 100% starting Wario tonight, too. I'm so excited.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Excited for a Wario game.
Dude, are your joints ready? I feel like you're going to have to do a lot of squats.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Nick, you haven't finished Alan Wake 2 yet, have you?
No, I think I'm about halfway through it. I'm loving it. Like, I'm a huge Remedy fan. I've enjoyed all their work. I will say up front, I do think that immediately, I think Alan Wake is a less fun game to play. Like, the act of playing it feels less fun than Control, because Control is very floaty, it's very arcadey in feel. But I think what really grabs me and what really grips me with Alan Wake, and probably going to put it in my top 10 before the end of the year, is just how it feels like this wonderful multimedia project, right? Where, you know, Remedy really, I think, mastered it with Control, with video game combined with real, like, live action video stuff. Yeah. And this game takes it to a whole other level, and it really just shows you all of the things. Like, The video game industry and video games as a whole as a medium just feels like it's still in its infancy. And then you see Remedy do what they do with Alan Wake 2, and they're having so much fun with the blend of different media. And it's people who love what they are doing getting paid, well, I'm sure getting publisher money to make something that would ordinarily not be able to get made with the level of fidelity that it's being made in. And it is just truly astonishing.
And there's some similarities between Alan Wake and Control, and like it's weird to say like this, but like the close-ups of like your main character's faces, like in Control, I forget what her name was, but like as she's like thinking through things, the camera will get like right here, and they do the same thing with Saga in
Like Jesse, you have like the silhouetted images of live action footage play over the video game footage, which sounds it feels like it'd be difficult to do, but they pull it off so effortlessly and stylishly. And also just the way it combines not Max Payne with the Alan Wake universe and Control universe and the stuff, like the way it all comes together. I think I saw somebody call it the end game of Remedy, the Remedy video game universe, which it feels so appropriate.
I mean, they really do bring in the most prominent elements of Control as gameplay elements in this eventually. And it's like, I did not expect that to happen. I thought this would be like, oh, maybe at least some references to this other universe, but it's like, no, you're basically going after the same, I don't know, background mythos that Control is based on. Cool. It's awesome. It's really
interesting.
Cool.
Love it.
That's what, like, the best way to do any kind of like shared universe is you can't like pre-plan it and engineer it from the start. It just has to be like there in the background until it's not, then it's in the foreground.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes planning can help, like in the Star Wars sequels. Probably should have planned that out.
Well, I mean, it certainly is planned, because like there's stuff that calls back to the original Max Payne's, where you're like, oh wow, they really thought this through for a long time. And like, it's no spoiler to say that in literally the first moment you control Saga, when you wander into Cauldron Lake in that forested area, you come across a Federal Bureau of Control station, way station, that's getting serviced by just a maintenance staff from the Federal Bureau of Control. So it's like, oh, this rocks.
Well, no, but like my point is, like, they weren't in when they were making Max Payne, they weren't like, ah, yes, here's the beginning of our 10-year plan.
Sure.
Like, just focus on, you know, characters and making really good art. And then
to go back to the
ass later.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I agree. To go back to the live action mixed with gameplay stuff, like, that has been something that's very scary to developers ever since the CD-ROM era.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody got really turned off to that. And then it always really emphasized how bad the acting was in the video, or how bad the graphics were next to the video, or, you know, whatever. And so it is really remarkable to see when it appears and why it appears and how it's worked into the game. And it's so smart. It's obvious in hindsight to like look at the stuff and see that they're doing it this way, but like it's shocking still.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where they have like actual, like they're coming at it from a filmmaker's perspective. Yeah.
Did you recognize the sheriff?
No.
No wait. Oh yes, really? Yes.
Sam, you didn't recognize the sheriff?
Sean Ashmore.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. You mean Titan Breaker?
Iceman from X-Men.
Iceman?
Yeah. He was the star of Quantum Break, so that's why there's the connection there.
And technically, he's not the character he is from Quantum Break, but it is a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because his name is actually Tim Breaker. So it's like, come on.
Cool.
Same with like the Alex Casey, Max Payne. It's not Max Payne, wink, wink.
Yeah. Well,
got it.
Already enjoying it. Looking forward to playing more tonight. Okay, every Godzilla game ever, if you will.
We gotta devote the rest of the hour to this.
If you will indulge me. Well, I mean, some of these, like we don't have footage for everything here, so we won't linger on all of these. But the first Godzilla game started arriving in the early 80s. And the first couple, I think, were unlicensed. There's no connection to Toho that I can find in these. So there was a game called Godzilla for the Commodore 64 in 1983. Oh my gosh, we're even seeing that here. And this appears to be a pretty well thought out strategy game where Godzilla is attacking from the ocean, and then you see Tokyo on a sort of like a grid, and you have to stop Godzilla before he gets to destroy his Tokyo. And I think you use a nuke to destroy him, and you can't use a nuke too close to the city, so.
That's pretty cool.
That's what it was, yeah. But I think it's just a completely unlicensed game. And then the next year, there was a game for the ZX Spectrum called Godzilla and the Martians. But I don't know, it's this one, so that's the game.
There he is.
And this one doesn't seem
to have. This is my favorite Godzilla.
Beyond the title, this game doesn't seem to have any connection to Godzilla. The instruction manual says the Martians have invaded, destroying the molecular structure of Earth's atmosphere to make it compatible with their own planet. The girl of your dreams is trapped at the top of a building site, but for the moment, protected from the evil invaders by a friendly dinosaur.
Wait, who do you play as? You play as just a man.
Yeah.
It's a Mario clone.
The girl of your dreams, who's being protected by a friendly dinosaur. The instruction manual doesn't call him Godzilla. So.
Legally, they cannot call him Godzilla.
Well, I mean, except they did on the box.
They did on the cover.
So, anyway, Godzilla and the Martians. I think the first official Godzilla game came in 1984 for the MSX, which is called Godzilla versus Three Major Monsters.
I mean,
that's the title of it?
Yep.
Should we put the title of the monsters in the title of the game?
No, Three Major Monsters. It's a single screen action game where you know, monsters will attack from all sides, and then Godzilla just has to breathe fire on them and destroy them all. The three major monsters are Megalon, Kumonga, and King Ghidorah. And Kumonga is, I think, stretching.
Yeah, that's I would expect something else.
Major monster. Kumonga is if you've ever seen the giant spider one, that's Kumonga. No, I don't think it's going to win any popularity contests among kaiju, but this is the game. Godzilla versus Three Major Monsters.
It looks amazing.
A single screen action game because, let's all say it together, the MSX had trouble scrolling screens.
Godzilla was asleep.
That's why Metal Gear is how it is, why you go from screen to screen. Because it started on the MSX, could not scroll. Okay, I like this. The title of this next one that came the following year, 85, for the FM7 and PCX1, which are Japanese PCs. Fierce Dragon Godzilla Metropolis Destruction.
Good name.
Cool.
Yeah. This one looks cool. I don't think we have actually footage of it. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is a title screen where you see like Godzilla facing you, the player. And a lot of the gameplay is that. You play as Godzilla walking towards the camera and like destroying things in his wake, so.
It's like my sleep paralysis demon on the title screen. Cool.
I haven't seen many other games, any Godzilla games that are presented that way, but I thought that one looked pretty
cool. I like that an important detail for the people listening to the show is that the title screen of the game said action game at the top.
Yep, action game from Bandai Soft. That same year, we got Gojira-kun on the MSX, which, Sam will probably know this, would end up being the Game Boy game Godzilla from 1990. Which is sort of a cute puzzle platformer. Where you in the original Gojira-kun you play as
an adorable
baby
sprite.
Godzilla.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's a very cute little Godzilla sprite.
It looks like Bub or Bob.
Gojira-kun.
Yeah. And so like it's a puzzle game, you can create your own levels, and then they would just port that to the Game Boy in 1990, just call it Godzilla in a black and white version.
Oh, because that's so cool. Yeah. I love the design.
In 1986, for the Commodore 64 and Apple II, was the Movie Monster game. And this one, it's a computer game from Epix. There's a variety of scenarios and playable monsters from the movies, and you lots of different cities for them to demolish. But there's Tokyo Tower, Eiffel Tower. I'm trying to see what other movie monsters are included. There's also Mothra, the Blob, and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Wow, that's quite
What year was this?
86.
So was this, okay, not quite. I was going to say, I bet there's going to be Rampage clones, which might even be licensed after Rampage, but this isn't quite after Rampage.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we need, like, so I don't know. I don't know if this is a spoiler, Damon. How many games, like, do we, how much time do we have to, like, comment on each game? Like, how fast do we need to be blazing through these?
Well, I mean, so we're midway through the 80s now, and we're going up to present day. So, I mean, whatever. There's no rules.
Right. I feel like we'll have much less to say early on. I think we'll get a little bit more to say the closer we get to modern times.
Justin, are you dying to talk about Monsters Fair for the MSX from 1996? Nope. It's a commando-like where you play as Mothra.
Oh, heck yeah.
No way.
Yeah. That rocks.
You move upwards, shooting things. I think you would play as both the Mothra larva and Mothra.
We see him in larva
form. Yeah, I was
going
to say,
right,
that doesn't look like Mothra.
Yeah. And then this game includes Godzilla, Minya, Hedorah, which is a smog monster, and then Gazora from the movie Space Amoeba.
Oh, wow.
Another Toho monster movie.
Sounds good.
And then finally we get to the Famicom and the NES game, Godzilla Monster of Monsters, 88 for the Famicom, 89 for the NES. This game was developed by Compile, developers of Puyo Puyo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think this was a rental for me. You play as Godzilla or Mothra, and it's like a side-scrolling beat-em-up. Kick them up, I guess. Mm-hmm. Fire, breathe them
up. When did your love of Godzilla start?
Very young, but it came from my dad. He would like show me the old movies that he watched as a kid. So whenever I was like five, whenever I was like old enough to start like understanding and watching an old Godzilla movie.
And this Godzilla game definitely came out in the United States.
Oh yeah, I rented cartridge for it. Godzilla Monster of Monsters. This one we don't have footage that we can
show. I remember Godzilla
show.
2, but not this one.
And then that would be followed by Godzilla on Game Boy, the aforementioned Gojira-kun that was ported over here. And then, but in this version, you can't use your atomic breath, probably because it was a port of a game where you're playing Minya, who, if you've seen the movies, he has trouble breathing fire sometimes. He needs daddy's help sometimes. Oh, but Morian has this. This game is a very cute puzzle platformer, but it opens up with these awesome renders of the monsters. Hopefully, Morian can pull these up.
Using the magical technical director abilities at her disposal.
We'll put the effects in post.
Bum, 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 bum. I'm trying to summon them. Bum, bum,
I feel like despite my love of Godzilla, I don't think I've ever really played any of his like video game adventures. Like,
At this point, we've only had two that were released in the U.S.
But like, I think out of all the ones we've seen so far, I think I will actually probably figure out how to revisit Gojira-kun. Yeah, that one looks adorable on its title screen alone.
Okay, well, we'll move on. Marianne, let me know if those are ever found. In 92, there was Godzilla 2, War of the Monsters for the NES. So a late NES game, and it's a turn-based strategy game where you actually play as the military. Looks like Advance Wars to me.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's an Advance Wars-like, which makes a lot of sense.
Is that the one where it's like, Godzilla, you're destroying the financial district. That's fine. It's not an important part of the city, but still.
Back then, it would have been a Famicom Wars clone.
Yeah, you're right. You are right. So then, 93, there's Godzilla for the PC Engine. It's a one-on-one fighting game with a great soundtrack. And you'll see there's a lot of fighting games. But look how this one looks good, right?
Biollante.
Yeah, this Biollante looks really good.
Yeah, this looks beautiful. Really
so it's a, I think this was a CD game, because it actually has like a great orchestral soundtrack as well.
I think I might have actually played this one semi-recently.
Well, there you go. We got an arcade game in Japan called Godzilla from 93, and it's a side-scrolling action game where, like, in a stage, you warm up by stomping over tanks and etc., and then you have a one-on-one fight with one of the other monsters.
Love it.
Whoa, an arcade game.
Yeah.
Wow, I got to track that down.
I think only in Japan, just called Godzilla. In 93, there was a Japan game for the Game Boy called King of the Monsters, Godzilla. It's, I think it's just another side-scrolling action game with kind of a cutesy version of Godzilla, just beating up fighter jets, other monsters, that sort of thing. The type of thing you expect. That's it. That's the box art for
That's great box
King
art.
Of the Monsters, Godzilla. And then we also got that same year, Godzilla Battle Legends, what they think is just a CD version of Godzilla for PC Engine. Same game. Super Nintendo got Super Godzilla in 94. The follow-up to the Famicom Godzilla 2 is what this would have been. And yeah, this one is another, you guide Godzilla over different levels just by like, the game is split in two screens. I'm just reading off of Wikipedia. The split in two screens, top screen shows the actions Godzilla is making at the moment, while the bottom one shows the location of where he is in the current level. It's a little bit of a confusing setup if you ever look at it.
Made for DS.
Isn't Godzilla 2 a strategy game?
Yeah, that's why I said it was like Advance Wars. But now that was Super Godzilla for the Super Nintendo.
And this is too? This is a strategy game?
I think it's a strategy and action, elements.
Got it.
It got a sequel for the Super Famicom called Godzilla Monster War, which is another one-on-one fighting game. And then, inexplicably, in 1995, the ZX Spectrum got a new Godzilla game called Godzilla the Atomar Nightmare. I'm not sure how you're supposed to pronounce Atomar. Maybe that one is unlicensed too, but it does have some nice Godzilla renders in there, at least. And then, that's what that looks like.
I mean, you know, I got a press release this week about a new Game Boy Color game coming out. So people are just doing whatever they want these days. It's chaos out there, Damon.
They've always been doing whatever they want.
In 1995, the Sega Pico, which is a Sega computer in Japan, got an interesting one called Godzilla Heart Pounding Monster Island. And you know, if Heart Pounding is in the title, it's Doki Doki.
Doki Doki.
Wait, do you romance Godzilla and all the monsters?
No, they're all chibi versions, and then you mostly just click on them in different scenes and watch things happen, I think.
I love it.
It's cute. The Saturn got a game, Godzilla game, 1995, called Godzilla Archipelago Shock. The monsters invade an isometric city, and players control the Japanese Defense Force. Try to hold them off.
See, that's cool titles. Man, we're already up to the 32-bit era.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but also in 95, the Game Gear got a game called Godzilla Giant Monster March. You can play as either Godzilla or G-Force, and it seems to be another Advance Wars-like.
Oh, okay.
What's G-Force?
The Japanese Defense Force. But specifically for Godzilla. Okay.
Does it stand for Godzilla Force?
Yes, it does. A PC game in 98 called Godzilla Movie Studio Tour, which is an interactive tour of Toho Studios.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. That is awesome.
I want to track that down. That's really cool.
The next one will be hard to track down. Godzilla Online was a PC game in 98 that launched alongside the movie Godzilla 98. And it was exclusive to the gaming service GameStorm.
Wow, I've not heard of GameStorm. 98,
so I don't know.
Lost media.
That would be tough to find today.
Tragic.
Oh, this T-Rex Godzilla is so funny.
Was it like a MMO?
Yeah, so players could take the role of soldiers who were set to kill baby Godzillas, scientists who wanted to extract blood from baby Godzillas, baby Godzillas who wanted to defend themselves and strive to be big Godzillas, and reporters who wanted to film the ongoing chaos.
What?
Some players were reporters.
I would want to be a reporter. I want to chronicle all of them trying to extract blood from baby Godzillas.
It was showcased
an online game in 98, though.
I mean,
that's weird.
Computer Gaming World gave it a 2 out of 5.
Okay. Well, out of 5. That's not that bad.
That's not too bad, yeah.
And then that would be followed by Godzilla Trading Battle on the PlayStation in 98. And this is a Pokemon-like. We collect cards, and then it's apparently one of the largest collections of Toho monsters ever.
Oh, that's awesome. This sounds cool. This sounds really cool.
That's called Godzilla Trading Battle for the PlayStation.
But how many Toho monsters are there? I mean, I know there's like a million, but like, is there enough to actually do like a whole trading card game?
Yeah, because, first of all, there's all the kaiju, and then like Godzilla has multiple forms also. And then there are other Toho monster movies that aren't even exactly in the Godzilla universe.
And I would also say there's I'm sure Sentai people appear to some extent,
but throw
giant men.
Throw Kamen Rider in there. And then there's a game I was following very closely leading up to its release. Godzilla Generations was a launch game for the Dreamcast in Japan, but it turned out to be terrible. But I remember I was probably looking at like little screenshots on IGN in 1998 or GameSpot and just getting excited about this new big 3D Godzilla game for the Dreamcast. This one you play as the monsters and you're actually supposed to destroy the cities.
But then, so 1998?
That's 98. And then 99, it got a sequel called Godzilla Generations Maximum Impact that IGN reviewed. So we've reached the point where IGN can review these games. And IGN gave Godzilla Generations Maximum Impact a 2.5 out of 10.
Oh, no.
And said one of the worst Dreamcast games gets a sequel.
Ouch.
Wow.
98, I would have been reading the GIA, the Gaming Intelligence Agency.
There you go.
That was my video game website of choice.
We said this time, yeah, this is a, this is actually on our YouTube, but it's just like a flyover of the city. I don't even think we even see monsters in here.
So how were you disappointed, you know, tracking the Godzilla on the Dreamcast? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't end up getting that game. I don't even know
you
if it was
just looked at those screenshots and yeah, you just wondered what could have been.
Yeah. I mean, should have been so much better. It's like a developer you've never heard of made this game for Sega. And it's apparently a rail shooter, something like Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Does it have lights in the game? Everything is so dark.
I know, it's so dark. I know.
Well, you destroyed them all, Sam.
And then there are a couple other games based on the 98 Godzilla movie. There was Godzilla the Series for Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm.
There was an animated series that followed that.
Watched that.
Yeah. It was Godzilla in a side-scroller. IGN gave that a 6 out of 10. And then there was Godzilla... this is what that looks like. Which, you know, doesn't look that bad for a Game Boy Color game.
It's fine.
Yeah. And there is Godzilla the Series Monster Wars, which is a follow-up, which is a little bit misleading because there's still just the one monster in it, just Godzilla 98, because in that universe, no other monster was ever introduced. We gave that one a 5 out of 10. And that brings us to the 2000s and probably the best Godzilla game.
Destroy All Monsters for the GameCube.
Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee for the GameCube and Xbox.
Dude, this game, I take it back. Now you just... Wow! Yeah, this was the Godzilla game.
This is the four. This is the four-player brawler.
Why did it take them 20 years to make what they should have obviously like made from the start?
This is it. IGN gave it an 8.5. We said without a doubt the best Godzilla game to date in 2002.
Awesome.
Oh, man, I got to revisit this.
Yeah.
Who's that with like the laser hands?
That's Megalon right there.
I don't.
It's like a 70s era. Villain, and in that movie Godzilla bleeds. It's kind of gnarly. He like sprays blood out of his mouth.
Oh my gosh.
And it's that you know, like the 70s really bright red blood that they use. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
That had a companion GBA game called Godzilla Domination that was developed by WayForward, who just did they're doing Contra Operation Galuga right now. They did Shantae, River City Girls, and they did Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp.
Mm-hmm.
So this Godzilla Domination game has nice pixel art. However, IGN's Craig Harris gave it a 5.5 out of 10, so there's very little substance beyond the pretty looks. And Craig Harris was not known for being particularly harsh on handheld games, so.
You know, people have leveled that same criticism at me many times.
Is that true? that was followed up by, Destroy Monsters Melee, or DAM, as some people call it, was followed up by Godzilla Save the Earth, almost identical game that came to PS2 and Xbox in 2004. IGN gave that a 6.5 just because it's basically the same game. That would be followed by Godzilla Unleashed for the Wii and PS2 in 2007 that IGN's Damon Hatfield reviewed and gave it a 4.9.
Oh, no. Yeah. What year?
2007.
Do you remember writing this review?
I did not remember writing this review, so I'm glad I looked this up before we were recording this, but yeah.
Did you remember playing the game?
I barely remember even playing the game. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
That would be followed up by Godzilla Unleashed Double Smash. What platform do we think that was for?
The DS.
Yes.
The DS. Yes.
As every there was all those DS.
Every DS game had to have a subtitle with DS.
Dawn of Sorrow.
That was also in 2007. IGN's Jack DeVries gave that a 3 out of 10. That it looks terrible and reduces the King of Monsters to a mush of no texture polygons, then puts him in a tedious series of punching planes and kicking boats.
I like the use of the dual screen though.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it does.
I wish they did more of like the game title, like, you know, we're not getting that many like Switch game titles anymore. It's like that seems to have gone away. It makes me sad.
Yeah. So Double Smash for 2007. There would be a 7-year hiatus of Godzilla games, and then we'd start getting some mobile games. So we're not going to spend much time here. In 2014, there was a game called Godzilla Strike Zone, 2014. So it's based on Godzilla 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And you play as a soldier parachuting into San Francisco, recreating that scene.
What was this available on?
Mobile.
Oh, okay, got it.
And that same year, there was Godzilla Smash 3. That was a Match 3 game. which I didn't know about.
It feels right.
I play a Godzilla Mash 3 game. Yeah. This is Strike Zone that we're seeing right now.
Do you play as Godzilla destroying the city, and the more you match, the more you destroy? Or is it the more you match?
I mean, it's nice. There's like scenes of Godzilla doing stuff while you're matching these gems. That's fine. And then 2015, we got that Godzilla game just called Godzilla for PS4 and PS3. Do you play this one?
No.
It's just, you know, it's another fight all the monsters together. But IGN gave it a 4.5 out of 10. The destruction mode is similar to Godzilla Generations for the Dreamcast. But this one's actually developed by Natsume, which is kind of...
Why are they, like, it feels like... Like, look, I don't want to be an armchair game developer. Like, I've made a video game. But, like, it doesn't seem like it would be that hard to, like, make... Like it's right there. Just like wreck shit up, fight giant monsters. Like
I mean, I like
don't overthink it.
Well, I even like what the sort of like turn-based strategy.
Yeah.
Thing that the that you were trying, you know, decades ago. I think that could be really cool.
I feel like that's a fun format. Mm-hmm. That was what I was gonna kind of get to. Like in the early days of the Godzilla games, that kind of the Famicom turn-based strategy, like RTS stuff, in conjunction with Godzilla. I think Godzilla's right for a video game adaptation that it combines, you know, an RTS and also destroying a bunch of stuff. A dual perspective game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, this game doesn't look that bad, but. Didn't end up being that fun. Nick, do you know there's a Shin Godzilla PSVR demo?
I did not. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
You are a civilian caught in the middle of Godzilla's rampage.
Oh, okay, I'm not sure if this is something a little bit different, but when I went to Universal Studios Osaka, it was during the time that Shin Godzilla had come out, and it was a 4D roller coaster experience that you would strap a VR headset on, and basically you were in Universal Studios in the VR roller coaster while Shin Godzilla was attacking Osaka, and it ruled. So I wonder if there's a lot of overlap here, because it would be nuts to me if they made multiple VR experiences for Shin Godzilla, but hey, it's a good movie, so I wouldn't doubt it.
I want a VR experience where you are Godzilla.
I mean,
yes. I crush you.
Yeah, that could be good. We end with a trio of mobile games that I don't know how many people played. There's Godzilla Defense Force in 2019. It's a base defense game. It has a 4.8 rating in the App Store, which means it's, you know, out of 5, so it got good user reviews at least. And there's a game called Godzilla Battle Line in 2021. It has a 4.7 rating, and the description of this game doesn't make any sense. Maybe Justin can translate, because he speaks mobile game. Players duel each other in ranked, fair, and friend matches with teams of 8 battle pieces. One battle piece on each team serves as a leader, while the rest cost varying amounts of energy from a slowly refilling meter with a cap of 10 energy to deploy onto the playing field. Players can choose from 4 battle pieces at a time to summon when it suits them. Leaders remain stationary on opposite ends of the arena, and their HP must typically be reduced to 0 to win the match.
Typically.
Well, allow me to explain, Damon.
It's a Clash Royale-like.
In mobile game parlance, a battle piece is... No, I don't know. Yeah, I like the explaining, like, you know, you typically win by reducing your opponent's HP to 0. Good. Got it.
Don't know what that game is like. And finally, there was a game called Godzilla Destruction from 2021, but it was discontinued in 2022. And barring any pachinko games or LCD games or pinball games, I think that's every Godzilla game ever. So really,
two good pins.
I was gonna say, yeah, I know of at least one.
What do you mean?
What's the other?
Yeah, the 2021 pinball machine is really good from Stern. And then, what year was it? Is it 99? Godzilla 99? Is that the big stupid American one?
It was the movie was 98, but I don't know when the pinball was.
98, yeah. Then that would have been the year the pinball machine came out. That was from Sega, which became Stern eventually. Mm. But that's the one that has a big Godzilla head that barfs out 6 pinballs, and I like it.
That might
it's
be
pretty corny.
Say. That might be the best thing to come out of that movie is the tie-in pinball table.
Yeah, it's not bad. And the new pinball machine is unbelievable. It's one of the Millennium's best pinball machines.
Ooh, I haven't played it.
It's awesome. Really impressive. It has lots of movie clips and scenes and sounds, and you can play the whole game Japanese from the start.
That's cool.
You can switch it to Japanese, and it has like a really cool set of things. But the best thing is like a building that you fill with pinballs, and then it collapses, and then it plays the Blue Oyster Cult song Godzilla very loudly.
That's awesome. Awesome. They got the license for that too.
Yeah, it's incredible. They went all out with it. It's a really impressive game.
Sam, is there like a resource like for like a pinball machine finder, so you can find like where you can play certain pinball machines?
Yeah, it's called Pinball Map.
Okay, that's good to know. Look it up.
Yeah, it does like pulls up a little you know, Google Map thing, and it flags where all the machines are in big cities.
Well, there you have it. Every Godzilla game ever peaked in the early 2000s with Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee.
Good game.
You know, it's funny to think, too, that, like, Donkey Kong was influenced by King Kong, right? Straight up. And it's the one of the most popular early arcade games ever. And we all are, Jesus saw a Donkey Kong clone. It inspired a million games. But, like, yeah, none of those were like, let's get the Godzilla license and make a game that's like Donkey Kong, like, from the start. It's just, well, it's just really
Godzilla
strange.
And the Martians was kind of
in the
like
arcade.
there is a parallel universe.
Exactly,
where there's something Donkey Kong-like, but it's Godzilla-themed, and now it's hailed in the pantheon of video games, but just, you know, just never happened.
Is Bowser a Godzilla-like?
Yeah. Godzilla-like.
Maybe.
I mean,
he's more of a Gamera-like, right, Turtle?
Yeah, true, true. Good game.
You know, it's funny to think, too, that, like, Donkey Kong was influenced by King Kong, right? Straight up. And it's the one of the most popular early arcade games ever. And we all are, Jesus saw a Donkey Kong clone. It inspired a million games. But, like, yeah, none of those were like, let's get the Godzilla license and make a game that's like Donkey Kong, like, from the start. It's just, well, it's just really strange.
Godzilla and the Martians was kind
in
of
the
like
arcade.
That.
There is a parallel universe.
Exactly.
Where there's something Donkey Kong-like, but it's Godzilla-themed, and now it's hailed in the pantheon of video games, but just, you know, just never happened.
Is Bowser a Godzilla-like?
Yeah. Godzilla-like?
Maybe.
I mean,
he's more of a Gamera-like, right, Turtle?
Yeah, true, true.
It's true. It's weird that outside of these mobile games, there's no, like, legendary Godzilla game. Because now they've got, you know, there's four movies in that universe now. They've got this Apple TV series and, like...
I'd envision a first-person shooter. I don't know why. Just a first-person shooter set in the Godzilla universe where you're just a boots-on-the-ground soldier.
I mean, that'd be amazing.
Fighting for Monarch.
Yeah. They could actually present, like, a sense of scale of, like, being able to look up and, you know... Could be good.
Yep.
They need to, like, you know, it's like we've talked on the show off and on the last couple of years how good Konami has been about lining up independent developers with their IP. Like, they have, you know, the horror studios making Silent Hill games and the Dead Cells DLC, and just everything that they're doing seems to be so spot on. That's what Toho, whoever controls the Godzilla rights now, needs to do with Godzilla. It's like the team that made Into the Breach should make a Godzilla strategy game.
Cool. That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Right. Sold. And like, but then just go down the board. Like, you actually mentioned the Shantae developer. Like, they should go back. They should do that again. Like, give them another crack at it.
Way Forward Raids again.
Yeah.
Way Forward Raids again.
You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the U.S. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop.
Sounds great. Let's greenlight it. Let's check in with the listeners.
Well, howdy.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Paul Bowman did, who has a question for Sam. Says, recently I was rewatching the movie Big with Tom Hanks. And in the beginning of the movie is a carnival, and the arcade machines are essentially outside under a tent. Can arcade machines handle the outside elements? Is this realistic at all?
See for yourself in the scene. What is that, a sad Galaxian back there? Yeah, that's a very, very bad idea. So in California, there's temperate weather, and you can go to the Santa Cruz Boardwalk and check out, there's several arcades. There's a main arcade, there's an upstairs arcade, then there's some kind of ones that are on the boardwalk itself. And those have very, very old survivors in them. And they look like that, like the paint's gone, the marquee's worn off. You got to remember the game we just saw, which I think that was a Galaxian. I'd have to look at the contour of the game. But it's faded like hell. And this big was like late 80s, right? So it's like that game's been out there for a long time. You can see what happened. I believe I see a Dig Dug in the background there, maybe a kangaroo. But they experience sun fade and stuff like that. And then water just is the worst possible thing. But what happens in Santa Cruz is they lose all of their paint and all of their art, and like the bulb like shines through the marquee, and it's so charming when they're still working, and like you can play these games and they're a total mess. There's cigarette burns all over the control panel, and then but they're still working. And what's surprising with that too is that they're also rusting, because the sea air is like the worst possible scenario too. But yeah, you don't want to have arcade machines outside. And so there's been a few times in my life where we've had to like save games that were just temporarily stored outside, and that can, you know, especially in the Bay Area near the ocean, again, like even if it doesn't rain, just the salt air is a bad situation. But here's a funny thing: when you there's these new games by this company that's doing these, you know, these tiny arcade games, and they're great, they're really fun. But the new variations on them that are popular is that they put the wear and tear on. So this one actually has a peeled away control really panel cute. And cigarette burns and stuff like that on it. And they've been getting better and better with that, with like root beer stains and like peeling side art, or like the special edition, like you pay, like that's the rarer version. I think that's like really that's funny. Adorable. So like, I think wear and tear is really good, but like, yeah, if I just picked up a game off the street last year, and it had probably been out there for a little bit, and like inside, like the coin door was rusted, like solid, but the game worked. Everything else worked. It just needs to be cleaned up. But like the exterior parts were getting worse for wear. So yeah, games and outside don't mix.
I think
that was a lot.
Well, I think Big is, it's at least supposed to take place in New York City. I don't know where they shot, but
that's where it's supposed to take place. Yeah. I don't remember that arcade scene in that. I mean, I don't remember that being a part of the arcade. I haven't seen that movie in 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a whole thing at FAO Schwartz, right?
Yes.
Remember that.
Yeah.
That's the piano floor, right? The FAO Schwartz.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that toy store is amazing. There was an FAO Schwartz where I grew up in Arizona, and it was amazing. Just a really cool toy store with like animatronics and stuff inside.
Cool.
All right, that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Fred from Missouri. Don't know if he's in Missouri, but he's from Missouri. Let the questioning begin.
Well, Damon, does this game have monsters in it?
Yes.
Oh.
But see, the twist is the monsters were the humans the whole time. We
were the monsters. We were the real monsters.
Ah, real monsters.
I mean, does this game feature Godzilla?
No.
Okay. All right. I feel like I had to ask on Godzilla week.
Sure,
I don't know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Rampage, though.
Maybe. Would you describe this as a spooky game, a horror game?
Well, I mean, like, so let me ask you, does a spooky game like have to scare you? Like, are you asking if this game is scary to play, or are you asking if it just has like horror spooky elements?
I guess the elements question.
Then yes,
because like Haunted House I would call a spooky game, but like, no, it's not scaring anybody anymore.
Maybe that means, maybe that's probably means it's Splatterhouse.
And what'd you say? Yes,
I said yeah, it features very common like spooky, it's
probably ghosts.
Themes, images, imagery.
Spooky
are
skeletons.
Are considered scary in Mario?
My kids like that song.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, no, there's all kinds of stuff that can be portrayed in a cutesy way. Like, skeletons are, like, the least scary thing in a video game. They just crumple, and they make a little skeleton noise, and then they just go, brah. But if you saw a walking skeleton in real life, that would be, like, a nightmare that you would never recover from.
Yeah, I mean, even Rampage would be scary in real life. Yeah. What about, is this from the 80s or 90s?
No.
I mean, it's not Splatterhouse.
Is it a console exclusive?
No. That's 5.
Well,
we're never getting it.
No, yeah, we need to, like, it's good that we have this background, but we need to reset a little bit.
Nick, last week they got in 3 questions.
I heard.
It's a record. Could have been 2.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever get it in 1.
I mean, you'd have to just make a guess.
Yeah.
Is this
We all want to get out of here, though. Let's just go.
Is this a first-person shooter, a puzzle, or fighting game?
No.
Okay.
None of those.
I like that. Is it a platformer, a strategy game, or a survival horror game?
Oh, I'm not going to remember these.
No.
No, wait.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody start writing these down.
So what are the 6 genres we eliminated?
So no shooters.
FPS.
No first-person shooters. No fighting games.
No puzzle?
Puzzle.
Yeah. And
no
I
platformer?
Said, I said no platformer, survival horror, or something that it wasn't going to be anyway.
All right, so we got what do we got left? Sports.
We got racing,
third person shooters.
Racing, sports, which are very different
things.
Would
you say is this game
or RPG?
Or RPG.
Yeah. Is this game from after 2015?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
Maybe it's Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
I think we
is
already
this
had
a role
that,
playing
though,
game?
Semi recently.
Is it a role playing game?
No, not a role playing game.
I thought for sure it was. Well, now I really don't know what genre.
And everything's an action RPG nowadays, so what could it be?
I'm getting really close to sports and racing. Would you call multiplayer a focus of this game?
Not a focus, I don't think. And that's 10.
But it features multiplayer.
Man. Feeling really stumped.
Was this game available on the, PS4?
No.
Is the game available on the Switch?
Yes.
And it's not exclusive to the Switch, though.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
We don't know
and
anything about...
it's not a port from PS4.
What kind we know that it has...
Oh. Is this an indie game?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What are you thinking?
I think it's a kind of a Steam game that came over, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like a Limbo.
Could be Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, or a roguelike.
It's probably Vampire
Survivors.
That is
roguelike.
When someone says indie game, what game do you picture? I picture World of Goo.
I picture Braid.
Limbo.
Yeah.
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 Is this a garlic-like?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Hey! Do we have 1 question and a guess?
Oh, you have 5 questions and a guess.
We have 6.
Oh, okay. I don't know how to. It's probably Vampire Survivors. What else would
I mean,
it be?
Vampire Survivors is on Switch and it was on PC prior. I don't think Brotato is on Switch, although I might be wrong.
It doesn't scare you, but it has spooky elements.
Yeah, this is true.
If that were, there is a lot of video games that if this scenario was real life, they would be horrifying. But then it's just like, nah, it's fine. Don't worry
about it.
And
it features multiplayer, but it's not a major component of it.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
I mean,
okay.
Does this game have Castlevania inspired aesthetics?
Yes.
Is it Vampire Survivors?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Vampire.
Yes.
Yeah. Released. It's on awesome. Xbox and Switch, but not a PlayStation platform.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very, a little bit unusual.
Oh, that is weird. I guess I didn't even realize that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Huh. Man, what a great game.
Great game.
Very good game.
Like, and I mentioned on the show several weeks ago that I've been playing several dozen garlic likes, and then I did Vampire Survivors first. Like, I'm kind of loosely trying to work through like which ones were inspired by which, and then I went back to Vampire Survivors and confirmed. It's like, yeah, this game got it exactly right the first time. Like, There's others. There's actually others like Halls of Torment that I think I probably like a little bit more than Vampire Survivors, but this would still be top three, even out of the dozens of clones that have come out, often imitated, rarely surpassed.
It's the developer and publisher is Luca Galante, and I had to look it up in case you asked me like where was this developed, but he's Italian.
Italy, right? Yeah, he's cool. He's just some random Italian dude.
Yep.
Danny O'Dwyer over at NoClip has a very good interview with a puppet in place of the developer.
I see.
Very good, very good. I also got the head of IGN Video, Corrado. Mm-hmm. He's my boss. And
obsessed.
And he's obsessed with Vampire Survivors. Mm-hmm. He goes, I think I'm done with the game, bro. I was like, what do you mean you're done with it? He goes, you know, every time death just kills me. I was like, wait, hold on. It means you haven't beaten death yet.
Yeah.
He goes, what do you mean? You can beat death? And I was like, we have much to learn. And then he just sent me like videos from his phone. He goes, I can see through the matrix now. Just nonsense on his screen happening. He's obsessed with it. I love it.
Yeah, dude, he's got it. Awesome. You gotta learn. You can beat death 100%.
It's just like sharing secrets about games on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did send him my spreadsheet of garlic likes if he's interested in branching out. Amazing.
All right, Vampire Survivors, thank you for the suggestion. Fred from Missouri. Viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for a video game, 20 questions, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. And that will do it for this edition of Godzilla Scoop. Thank you, Nick, for joining me here in studio. Thank you to both Sam and Justin. And thank you to Mariah for working behind the scenes to make this episode possible and finding all that great footage. If you have those Game Boy Godzilla game renders, we can bring them up right now.
And thank you.
But I can also add them in post. So.
Thank you to Shin Godzilla for joining us and keeping you safe from
Shin Godzilla.
That's my Godzilla impression.
That's pretty.
What was the? You said it was the G Squad.
There it is.
Yeah, that
pops up on your Game Boy. The game does not look like that, but that pops up before the title screen.
You see this man in an alley. What you do?
I would be so pumped if I saw that, but then it's just this little cute little chibi puzzle platformer game.
Anyway. Vegeta-kun, I'm coming for you. That's the one I'm going to check out for sure.
Yeah, it sounds great, honestly.
All right, my name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.